The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional e-commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling 6 times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl. It's July 14th, 2025, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, NRF files suit against New York state law. Why is there no best practice for e-commerce org structure? Amazon quietly cornering the market on robot patents. And Lululemon in markdown hell. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, NRF files suit against New York state law. This price was set by an algorithm using your personal data. Imagine this text not only appearing on every PDP page, search results, homepage, landing page, but also on every advertisement that contains pricing, no matter how small the ad is, for most retailers you know. The National Retail Federation last week filed suit against a New York state law, which is set to be live July 8th. Ostensibly, New York State has introduced the law that requires pricing based on protected status like race, gender, or disability status. This part of the law, the NRF actually seems okay with and is covered by other New York State laws. It's actually the disclosure requirements themselves that are far broader and seem to be the focus of the NRF's ire. According to the law, retailers must disclose they are using pricing which is linked to identifying consumer information. This includes very common retail-y things like loyalty programs, which are obviously linked to a member ID, club membership, likely any discount triggered to something like ID.me, I would guess, and ironically, near Prime Day, even Prime member discounts. Ultimately, do I think the disclosure will matter? Probably not. And why? Consumers hardly read anything, even if it happens, but still, why should retailers be forced to make a scary disclosure or face a $1,000 per violation? While only the New York State Attorney General can file the lawsuits, retailers would get cease and desist, cure periods, and other things. Also, I do think based on the fact that the New York Attorney General likely has better things to do with their time, if it is actually enforced, it would only be against the biggest retailers. Which kind of reminds me, how would such disclosures affect AI-based generative LLMs reading retail data feeds based in New York State? Asking for a friend. Would those disclosures have to show up in ChatGPT or Perplexity results? But the most ironic part of this law is that retailers would be forced to identify the location of customers using the customer's specific data linked to them, which would then allow them to display the disclosure in the first place. Isn't that a little bit ironic? Don't you think? Or, I guess, maybe they could just show it to everyone, which is exactly what happened with cookie banners, which is like another banner that I'm going to ignore here soon. Our second story. The Peter Principle is undefeated. Also, why there is no org structure best practice. I always thought there was no such thing as an org best practice. Show me an org that's working, and I'll show you a few dynamic leaders that are stretching and learning. You could have the same org structure with the wrong people just falling apart. Ultimately, if you're trying to fix major problems quickly, sometimes it can become time to change the organization and people at the same time. On the improving things side of org design, here are a few questions I urge you to think about. First, are your very best people working on your hardest problems? This is always one of my top questions when staring at an organizational chart. Second, does every important metric have a clear organizational owner that represents a strong individual or team? Third, what bet is your organizational design making? Hint, it's usually a bet on a few key individuals' growth. On the preventing problem side of org design, one, Have some parts of your org stop reinventing themselves? What is their incentive to change how things have historically been done? 2, how long has everyone been in their current seats? Sometimes a key function can change quickly in the span of 5 to 7 years. If leadership wants to keep things comfortable, you could miss something your competition is taking advantage of. 3, have certain team members been promoted past their competency? The Peter Principle is undefeated. And 4, do you have important team leaders who may not know what good looks like in their area of control? Especially when a company is struggling, oftentimes the folks who tend to stick around want clarity and certainty. The movers and shakers have departed for a healthier org long ago. The only people who are left are people who know where the bodies are buried and are often doing hero work just to keep the lights on. Rarely are these the people who are ready to turn a business upside down and start fresh if a new approach is needed. Our third story, Amazon quietly cornering the market on robot patents. If you're wondering how that Kiva acquisition went all those many years ago, it seems like it's going quite well for Amazon. And the company has increased its patent portfolio 28 times since the acquisition of Kiva Robots in 2012. I guess you could say that the robot trend was a good bet, right? Amazon now has almost 5,000 robotics patents, and the technology enabled by those patents now powers over 1 million robots in Amazon warehouses. Given the fact that Amazon employs only 1.5 million people totally, that's a very significant number. And while Andy Jassy assures us that humans don't have anything to worry about, it does seem to me that the time will soon come where we'll have end-to-end fulfillment without humans in the loop at all. Lights out facilities already exist in the world and are becoming more common. The AI revolution going on in venture capital at the moment is already promising some outrageous things, such as companies built with just one employee supposedly worth billions of dollars. Companies without a product or revenue already raising billions of dollars. Y Combinator startups devoted to the idea that you could steal other people's ideas and cheat on tests rather than learn and grow in, you know, actual life. And similarly funded startups devoted to the idea that employees are completely irrelevant. Although I get a lot of value from AI, let me kind of take the opposite approach here from some of these VCs. We already have about 10 different large language model engines for different things, and only about one or two of them actually has a distribution strategy. The rest of them, and I'm looking at you, Perplexity, is just a company in search of an acquisition. Apple, Google, and others with hardware and user lock-in often have the ability to play kingmaker in a universe. Meta, even, for example, is trying to stay relevant in just such a world. Since Microsoft itself was founded, each successive generation of software companies usually mints one or two truly important companies at the top of the food chain. Right now, OpenAI does have a chance to be that company for the next decade if they play their cards right. But still, back to our story, humans are needed to perform vital services in our economy, and do not even let Amazon's growing patent portfolio of robots patents convince you otherwise. And our last story, Lululemon in markdown hell. Wall Street analyst Jefferies has issued an alert recently about Lululemon regarding their aggressive recent markdowns. The company is apparently having to rely on markdowns to clear inventories of products. Add to this, Lululemon's nose is open related to tariffs. As if Lulu's prices weren't already high enough, Lululemon, who essentially invented the idea of yoga gear that could transition between the workplace, martini with your girlfriends, and everywhere else, was once seen almost indestructible. It shows two things about the power of inventory. One is, too much of it will kill any retailer. Markdowns maim margins. 2, there is a downside of success. Copies are what we call dupes. Dupes are a concept that was almost invented in the beginning because Lululemon was too damn expensive. And there are so many athleisure brands, including retailer house brands, who took notes at the feet of Lululemon and offered very similar product for much cheaper without the expensive Lulu premium. In some respects, there is no great solution to this as a brand. The only solution to slow decay is always innovation. In other words, Clayton Christensen says, disrupt yourself. The problem is, it seems the company is already out of new ideas and has already lost the thread. Companies like Fabletics, Gymshark, Allo, Roam, and Vuori are growing hugely, innovating faster, and don't show signs of letting up. And as for Lululemon, despite the CEO's assurances that new merchandise is on the way, even if it is, the company is behind the eight ball because the dupe genie is already out of its proverbial bottle. Most people I know are just as proud of dupes as they are real merch these days because of, wait for it, price-conscious consumers. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Unilever acquires men's personal care brand Dr. Squatch. Unilever has announced that it signed an agreement to acquire Dr. Squatch from private equity firm Summit Partners for a reported $1.5 billion. Unilever gains a complementary piece in its portfolio in premium and growth sectors. Second, BackOps AI raises $6 million to solve warehouse inefficiencies. Supply chain workflow automation platform BackOps AI announced that it has raised $8 million in seed funding, which will be invested in product development and to expand its operations. Third, Bridge, B-R-I-J, raises $8 million to power the future of offline-to-online customer relationships. Retail intelligence platform Bridge has announced that it's raised $8 million in venture funding that will be invested in product development, go-to-market, and partnerships. Is it just me, or have we only now discovered that retail has no analytics? Fourth, CNS to acquire SpartanNash in $1.7 billion deal. CNS Wholesale Grocers has announced the acquisition of SpartanNash. CNS will pay $26.90 for each share of SpartanNash common stock, representing a total consideration of $1.77 billion, which includes debt. The combined company will operate nearly 60 complementary distribution centers and serve approximately 10,000 independent retail locations. And finally, STG to acquire Movable Inc. Private equity fund STG announced that its acquired content personalization platform, Movable Inc. No financial terms were disclosed. Vivek Sharma will remain as chief executive officer alongside the rest of the Movable Inc. leadership team. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host Jess Lisesky, an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find The Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/WatsonWeekly and wherever you get your podcasts.